Merry Christmas, Stillman.
Ho, 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 Dave. So good to hear your voice again. How are you?
Oh, I missed you, but I'm just so cheerful. I literally finished a cup of eggnog while we were talking. I got a Christmas tree up in my house. We got baby Jesus up above the fireplace. Things are going great.
Awesome. You know, we had our first snow today, so winter is here in Wisconsin.
Madison, Wisconsin, huh?
Yeah, it was just a few flakes. Nothing stuck. It's kind of like rain, but they were actually flakes that were falling. I was quite excited.
We got a little bit of snow here, too. It's chilly. Yeah, I'm wearing two shirts right now.
Whoa.
I'm cold. But speaking of winter weather, you know who our guest is today?
Tell me more.
He's in a dark room. I can't see his face. But it's our old friend, Jordan Fox.
Merry Christmas.
Hey, Jordan. You got a little bit of this seasonal affective disorder this year?
No. For the record, the room is quite bright. It's just I'm backlit.
To protect your identity.
Yeah, to protect my identity.
I shouldn't have said your name. I apologize, Jordan.
Yeah, I know. Come on, man. I don't need any personal information about me on the internet.
But guys, it's the Christmas season. We got a lot to cover today. We're going to do our yearly off-the-chain gift-giving guide. We're going to talk about Christmas movies, a few other Christmas suggestions we have to make your season excellent. But first, let's just kind of go back in time a little bit, step into the time machine, and think about Christmas past. Steele, you have any pressing Christmas memories you feel like could brighten the season for us?
Oh, boy, Dave, you put a lot of pressure with that last bit of the sentence. I was going to go dark first, but I guess if you want to talk about brightening the season.
I think Jordan would appreciate dark. Next.
All right. Yeah. So here's the thing. This is the thing. I carry very few childhood resentments with me. I feel like I'm a pretty psychologically healthy adult in relation to my childhood. But here is one. When I was in probably the second grade, there was a kid who came to school and convinced everybody that he had set up a secret hidden camera in his house and had recorded Santa coming down the chimney of the house, putting presents in his house, eating the cookie, drinking the milk, and he caught it all on video and then before he left.
Wow.
Because there was a burning debate, you know, among kids whether Santa was real or not. And this kid's like, oh, no, I've got video evidence. I have a video cassette that I made of Santa. And for the next, like, couple of weeks, this kid's, like, status just kept rising higher and higher. He was the kid who had proof that Santa was real. And so we're like, oh, no way, that's not true. Prove it. Bring the video. He's like, oh, yeah, sure. I'll bring it tomorrow. And he just kept saying, I'll bring it tomorrow. Oh, I forgot it. Oh, it's in my backpack, but then my dad took it out because he wanted to show my uncle. Or like, it was so strange because even though he had this video, he just never managed to bring it and produce the evidence to school. Despite that, everybody believed him. He became the most popular kid at school. He's now a U.S. senator, and I think it's directly related to this false claim of the Santa video.
Yeah, and, I believe it.
And you have to have big talk. Big talk will get you a lot of places.
Is he still in contact with Santa today?
Probably.
Santa telling him, you know, don't worry about global warming. The polar North Pole is cold, cold, cold.
Yeah. So I look back and like, there's very few kids from my childhood that I like would want to go back and punch or like shake him around a bit and be like, listen, what you did was wrong. But that's the one kid. Talk about dark Christmas.
Wow.
I hope he feels guilty about his second grade popularity.
He's still riding the wave all the way to D.C.
Yeah.
Hey, Jordan, do you have any angry, violent Christmas wishes that you want to share? Or
no, of course not.
Oh.
Not angry. Well, actually.
Yes.
I guess you could say this was violent.
Oh.
But I remember, so my Christmas memory is similar. A lot of people have this similar memory, but when we one Christmas, my parents gave my brother and I the NES, the Nintendo Entertainment System.
Oh, nice!
The NES.
Good Christmas.
Yeah. You remember this? The 8-bit Nintendo?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a big Christmas. That's a big item.
Oh, it was huge. So we stayed up probably till 2 in the morning playing Super Mario Brothers. I don't think we got past level 2-2. But a lot of Marios and Luigis died that night, which I guess is violent.
Jordan, you didn't discover the warp zones, Jordan, that first night?
Of course not. No.
You know, another sad Christmas memory, real quick, this brings up. My grandma brought both my cousin and I, she bought Nintendos for us one year for Christmas, and my mom saw what it was, she made my grandma return it, so only my cousin got his Nintendo, and I never did get a Nintendo.
Well, there you go.
So I go visit my cousin every year at Christmas and play his Nintendo and think about what could have been.
Oh, man.
You know the kid that videoed Santa has a Nintendo. You know he has.
Oh, yeah.
He definitely would stand right next to the screen and shoot the ducks and duck hunt. That kid.
Well, guys, I'm going to bring us up.
Yeah, Dave, uplift us.
One of my greatest Christmas memories is the year we went to Washington because it was the first time I ever saw snow. It was just wonderful. We went sledding and built snowmen. And I was loving it the whole time. And then Christmas morning, I woke up in my grandparents' house. I went over to the tree, and there set up was the G.I. Joe oil platform. I don't know why G.I. Joe had an oil platform, but they did. And it was covered with 8 new G.I. Joe action figures.
What?
That's a lot.
Wow.
Action figures.
It was the greatest Christmas ever. Like receiving a Nintendo, like, I understand, that's good. Like, everybody enjoys that, but 8 G.I. Joe action figures and the oil platform. It was amazing.
Huge. That's huge. We usually would get at least 1 G.I. Joe for Christmas, which was big. Usually we'd get 2. But I probably up until I was like 15 or 16, I would have these dreams where there was a secret room in my house that I'd never found before. And inside this room, G.I. Joes and like tanks and planes and the arms of the And I would have that dream constantly that I would find the secret trove of G.I. Joes that was just hidden somewhere.
That's almost better than the real thing, Jordan. I have to say, that's a great dream.
It was a good dream.
Jordan, that makes me think of when I went to my uncle's house like 10 years ago, and he took me into his basement.
Oh, no.
And he showed me, it doesn't get, well, it gets weird, but not in an inappropriate way. Okay. And he showed me his secret room, and it was full of Legos, like every Lego set you could imagine, the freaking Millennium Falcon, like everything.
What?
There was like 100 Lego sets built there. And like I went as if I was going to go play with them. Like that was my immediately first thought. And he's like, no. Well, you can't play with them. They're just for looking at it.
Right. Those aren't to be touched ever. Don't even look at it.
There's 100 ways that story could have ended. And that's probably the best possible uncle showed me a secret room in his basement story I can imagine.
Oh, boy.
Ooh, Merry Christmas, everybody.
This episode have come with a trigger warning?
Honestly.
Well, guys, those are wonderful memories. I think everybody's feeling good about Christmas and uncles in particular right now.
Yeah.
But still, last year we did this. This year I'm bringing it back because we just got such a good response to it. Hey, when we talked about what gifts people should be giving, what they should be giving people at this time of year.
The menorah loaf, I think people are still trying to work their way through those several, I don't know, tubes of dough, as it were.
If you're unfamiliar with Oprah's list of her favorite things she releases every Christmas, I would say immediately stop listening to the podcast, get online, see what Oprah wants you to buy this year. Last year, the big ticket item on there was a loaf of bread shaped like the menorah that each candle, I guess, had a pretty phallic appearance still. It flew off the shelf, though.
Yeah, it did. It did. And I have to say, I understand why. It was a very attractive loaf of bread.
And Jordan, do you have any holiday items that you feel are hot this year, just a big deal, something that you're excited about?
Oh, man, of course. There is now, I don't know if this ever happens to you guys. Maybe it doesn't. Have you ever had to use the bathroom in the middle of the night?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
All the time.
Now, I don't know if you're like me, but you try to be considerate when you have to go. You try to, you know, slide out of the bed so it doesn't,
yep,
doesn't bounce or anything, so you don't wake your partner. You sneak into the bathroom, right?
Yep.
You don't, of course, you're not going to turn on the light.
No, you don't want to wake everybody up or yourself.
No, and that's the big thing. You don't want to wake yourself up. A bright light at 2 a.m., like, right. I don't want to be wide awake.
Yeah, I want to be relaxed as I urinate.
Correct. So there is, and then when you do urinate, you don't want to make a lot of noise, right?
No.
You don't want to shoot straight into the bowl.
You want to aim for the outside so it's not splashing.
Exactly. You want to aim for the outside so that the stream can kind of trickle into the bowl silently, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Quiet. Yeah.
You don't want to disturb anyone. This is very difficult to do in the dark.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
And sometimes you can miss. So
I don't know how many times I peed on the floor just because I want to keep the lights out.
Yeah, of course. Hundreds. Happens all the time.
Hundreds of times.
So there is this invention. It's actually a toilet light, and you install this into the inside of the bowl, and when you lift the seat, it's triggered by motion. It has two sensors, a motion sensor and also a light sensor, so it can tell when it's dark.
Wow.
It can tell when it's been moved up. It feels that. And you can turn on what's a red. You can pick colors, but they recommend red. Because red doesn't ruin your night vision. I don't know if you know this.
So
you pull that up, turn the lights up in the toilet. You can take care of your business. You're not going to lose your night vision.
Wow.
You've not woken anybody up. You've successfully, what's it called, Dave, the technical term? Evacuated? Vacated?
Yes. Yes, both of those.
Expunged. Your bladder.
Yeah.
Expunged. You can go back to bed safely, quietly, knowing you have not disturbed anyone, nor have you spilled a drop anywhere unintended.
So, listeners, if there's a considerate man in your life, what better thing could you do for them than get them this toilet light? And when you mentioned there was an invention that could help with this, Jordan, I was imagining it was going to be like a 8-foot diameter funnel that you could just install at night, and then you just pee anywhere, and it all just kind of funnels down into the toilet.
That's still a dream. That's still a dream. Being able to pee without getting out of bed. Whoever can successfully develop that without it being a diaper or a catheter is going to be a millionaire.
Wow.
So, guys, so,
I just want to give the toilet light five jingles from the Jingle Bells here. Just an appreciation.
That's beautiful, Jordan.
What kind of price range are we talking, Jordan? Is this, I mean, hundreds of dollars or what are we looking at?
You would easily, some people would easily pay up to $100 for an item like that.
Yeah,
what if I told you? What if I told you that you could get a toilet light off Amazon for less than $20?
Whoa!
Wow!
Man! Man! Oh man!
So everybody, go to OTC. Go to the OTC website and click on the affiliate link. Right?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah.
Just kidding.
No. Hey, actually, Jordan, I do want to recommend that all of our listeners, if they're not already using it, check out Amazon Smile. I know a lot of people buy from Amazon. If you do, Amazon Smile allows you to donate 1% of all of your purchases to, I think it's 1%, to the charity of your choice. And if you're looking for charities that could be in use of your donations, I got two to recommend for you. One is the Metropolitan Milwaukee Fair Housing Council. My wife used to work for them. They investigate housing discrimination and do a lot of great work making sure that people are fairly treated in the housing market, which is very important. And the other one is the Friends of Loreen Niedecker. If you're a fan of poetry and want to help preserve the legacy of Wisconsin's greatest underknown poet, the Friends of Loreen Niedecker. I've just been added to their board, and they're a very worthy charity.
That's who is the most known Wisconsin poet?
That's the great question. I'm going to leave that to the listeners.
Oh, okay. I'm sure it's a household name.
Yeah, probably.
Just kidding.
So, guys, if you're talking poetry, I think we need to go back and just talk about Oprah's favorite things for just a minute.
Oh,
there's a couple that I want to just point out to you that I'm a pretty big, huge, just a huge fan. She's recommending this set of maple syrup bottles. They're barrel aged and infused with organic flavoring.
Wow. That caught my eye as well, Dave.
Because who doesn't love maple syrup? Everyone loves maple syrup.
Good point. Dave, I don't know if you got all the way down to the bottom of the page, but there is a book recommendation, and the cover just makes me think that you would love this book. The Book of Joy. Have you seen the cover?
Is that the one with the Dalai Lama on it and
Desmond Tutu?
Desmond Tutu, yeah.
They're like, we got two great men. We really want to get them both on the cover. Let's pose them in a photograph standing probably 3 inches from each other. Just smiling face to face. It is. Yeah. It's like a surprise. You're married kind of picture. It's so good.
What's interesting is that book is just that photo on every single page for 300 pages. And it is. It's joyous. Book. It's beautiful.
Because they lean in for a kiss.
They get closer and closer to the pages.
The only thing keeping them apart in the cover is literally joy. You know, it's so good. So good. Thanks, Oprah.
Just the whole set. Oprah loves this glove set where it comes with three gloves. You lose one glove, you still have two, guys. It's great.
That's great.
And if you're looking for like body-related food items, although you can't buy phallic bread anymore, you can get the pound cakes by Janie's Cakes. Did you see these, Dave?
They look delicious, yeah.
And what else do they look like, Jordan, if you were to say like... Oh, hey, pound cakes by Janie's Cakes. One of them.
There's just so much to look at.
One of them looks like just pile of like a gelatinous mess covered with rat feces.
Oh, there we go. Yeah. Mm, yeah.
That sounds great.
I mean, I think yum.
It reminds me of when, rats were infesting our house in Mesa. Mm-hmm. Oh. It's a pleasant memory.
The one in the foreground.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That does look like rat poop. Man.
Oprah. She's so good.
The one that caught my eye that I thought was something else, but then learned it was not this thing that I thought it was the potato chips gifts crate. Did you see that?
No.
The potato chips gift crate. So I'd read an article. I've seen an article a few months ago about this particular kind of potato chip that is only available in prison.
Oh.
And I guess it's so popular that people joke about going back to prison so they can get these chips.
Wow!
And so the company that supplied the food for the prison finally decided to release these chips to the general public, and I guess they're selling like crazy. It was getting all kinds of attention. And when I saw this, I thought, those must be the prison chips, but they're not.
Mm, man, thanks a lot. Thanks for nothing, Oprah.
They're just chips made with soy oil.
Oh. What about the travel pillow organizer? Talk about some useless schlock.
Still, yeah. Come on. Have you guys ever taken a nap on a plane and been woken up and been like, "Hey, where's my cell phone, my wallet, my glasses?"
If only I had something dangling from my neck I could put my passport in.
Jeez. She's a visionary. But I do feel like the list has taken a step back this year. We need more penis bread, Oprah. That's what we need.
Dave, I've loved this podcast episode so far, but I guarantee you we've alienated more than half of our listeners already. We got to clean this up a little bit.
I apologize. Edit that out.
I'm going to lead with that. I think we may have also lost Jordan. We probably turned him off a bit with the unrelenting poop and penis references. I'm having fun, though. I just know Laurel's never, ever going to listen to this one.
Ariane, she's going to think it's funny. She's going to enjoy it. But a couple other gifts we'll plow through. Then we got more stuff to go on. But one thing that I genuinely thought looked cool was these sky lanterns.
What are they?
It's those things you've seen in all these Disney movies at the end where everybody's happy because there's these floating, flaming things going through the sky. But you can buy them. You just light them up. They come with a little fuel thing, and just it's like a little hot air balloon that floats up away from you, and then presumably starts a forest fire somewhere. But but while it floats away, it's just beautiful.
Wow! So it really is like helium powered free floating fire.
Well, no, it's the heat that's heating the oxygen that just makes the air expand and makes it go up. It's the hot air balloon, but just on a smaller principle.
You can buy anything in America. I love it.
And it's beautiful.
What do you guys think about these? So she has multiple book sets.
Who,
for example,
Oprah?
She has a job. Yeah, on her list.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Are you guys done with that?
No, we're never done with Oprah. Right. Never.
Okay.
I mean, is this our Christmas theme episode, Jordan? It's never not okay to talk about.
That's right. So she has like a John Steinbeck set. She has like a Toni Morrison set. There's a William Faulkner set, Maya Angelou set. And the books, when you put them together online, form a graphic image on the spines.
Yeah.
What do you guys think about that?
You know,
you
I just
an opinion?
I bought a Christmas gift for myself last year. This is going to be so fitting. It's the collected works of Primo Levi, the Holocaust survivor.
Yeah.
And it's awesome. It's this box set of three volumes, and it's got his face on it. And I always feel weird every time I take one of the books out. I'm like, oh, there goes his right eye and his glasses. I'm like,
I'm deranging
his face by every time I pull a book out.
That's my question, because I feel like if I had that set, I would feel like, oh, I don't want to mess up the image. I can't remove the book.
So here's what
the book would be. So to me, it would end up being more of an art piece rather than actual books to read. And I don't know how I feel about that.
So here's what you do. I just take the book out. I don't like having the dust jacket anyway. And I've gotten the habit of just putting the dust jacket back in place so his face looks intact, even though the book itself is out of the.
But Oprah loves those things. She had like one or two sets on there last year. And I think people saw it and they're like, this is how we get on Oprah's favorite things. And now there's like four sets. So I don't know how worthwhile they are, but I know Oprah loves them. So that definitely gives them some degree of respectability.
Yeah. If the books don't make a shape or a picture on your bookshelf, how can you know they're worth reading? That's the big question.
Guys, a couple other cool ones that I saw. Someone was selling a T-Rex shower head.
Whoa.
Which looks pretty cool. Like T-Rex is just spitting shower fluid on you. And that's pretty exciting.
Well, hold on.
And you can do that.
You shower fluid? What are you doing in your shower, Dave? Our house in Wisconsin is water that comes out of the spigot. Dave's like some kind of alien. I must bathe my flesh in shower fluid.
Imagine his bathroom's like some mysterious tank and he's got hoses hooked up. And
dearest one, it is time for our annual ablutions in shower fluid.
Right.
Do you think the human neighbors suspect anything? No. So go ahead. There's a T-Rex shower head. That sounds awesome.
And you could take this shower and shower fluid with a shower curtain that's actually the periodic table of elements. That's another. It's another gift I'm highlighting.
Does the shower fluid contain each one of the elements?
Ideally, it doesn't, because then you're going to be having some issues, I believe.
Yeah, in the shower curtain one that you posted, Dave, the image that they show is of the strangest looking shower. It's like a full wraparound, like in some kind of laboratory or something. What is going on? Who has a shower curtain shaped like this?
Yeah, it's just for your lab shower, you know? You've been mixing chemicals using your Bunsen burner, then you jump into your lab shower.
Yeah, wow. It's it's for people if they get shower fluid in their eyes and then you need to do a rinse.
The thing that's distressing to me is that people who bought this item, you know, Amazon tells you what people that bought this item bought? The number three thing is the human skeleton shower curtain. I'm thinking, who is buying both the human skeleton and the periodic table of elements shower curtains? Probably someone who's up to no good. An evil scientist there.
Oh, that's just some gift ideas for you guys. Jordan or Steele, you got any other wonderful gift ideas this year?
Well, one thing that's kind of fun to do is instead of buying something, to make a gift.
I love it.
You know? And so my family, I know Steele does the same thing, but we started doing this a few years ago. We sort of still do it, but it, you know, making a gift sometimes takes a lot of work. And well, I made a lot of stuff over the years, but one of the ones that I like the best was made completely from garbage.
Oh,
well,
yeah,
I had to buy one.
Nice.
I had to buy one. I had to buy one thing at a hardware store, but I made a kalimba. Do you guys know what a kalimba is? Thumb piano, like an African thumb piano.
Oh,
does that sound like anything?
Yeah, it was definitely high on Dave's wish list for this year.
Yeah, but
a shower really fluid cool dispenser and a kalimba.
Well, yeah, you can Google or YouTube it or whatever. Kalimba.
Cool.
But it's a musical instrument. It makes a really nice sound, but I made it out of, you know how clementines always come in a wooden box?
Yeah.
So yes. I made use the wood from a clementine box to make the box. And then when I would walk a lot in the city, and when I'd see street sweeper tines, I would always grab them.
Oh,
so what
Jordan.
You do is you use the street sweeper tines, and then like an electrical, this little heart piece you get from the hardware store that's basically a bunch of screws on a metal bracket. And you put the tines into the bracket, screw it down, it gets hard, and you can pluck the tines like on a kalimba. You cut all the tines so they're flat on one end. They'll be graduated on the other end like a kalimba. So it was this kalimba that I made for my brother out of just stuff, you know, garbage. It was great. It was awesome.
I was hoping that you'd made it for like a hobo that was a member of like a hobo band. That was what I was ideally hoping.
Oh. I guess that would have been better, yeah.
A legless Vietnam vet who's always begging for stuff from Jordan. Jordan's like, listen, I'm not giving you money,
here,
but I made you this kalimba.
Yeah. Out of garbage. Yours now.
Oh, man.
Hey, so I have a similar recommendation, and I think in addition to making things for people rather than buying things, I think the holidays and Christmas particularly are a really valuable time to realize just if you're listening to this podcast, it's almost certain that you're among the wealthiest 1% of people in the world. We're extraordinarily lucky to have all of the affluence and the wealth and all of the crap that we have. I've been really moved and motivated this last year reading about ethical altruism, which I've talked about a little bit on the podcast, but there's a great website called Giving What We Can, or I'll recommend The Life You Can Save. And both of them encourage people to make a pledge for the rest of their lifetimes to give a fixed percentage of their income to charity. Laurel and I are going to talk about this in greater detail as a family, but I'm going to make a public pledge soon, my New Year's resolution, to dedicate a fixed percentage of my income to important charitable causes for the rest of my life. And that's a great Christmas gift you can give to recognize, you know, just how fortunate all of us are to have what we have.
And that's neat, guys. I think you guys are actually talking about the real Christmas spirit of the season. And that's great. I hope that when we do go through the Christmas season, we remember how blessed we are so we can reach out to others that may need a little something more. And it can be giving some of your income, but it can be even more simple than that. Giving some encouragement, giving some friendliness, giving a hug, whatever. You can make a difference for people just by doing simple stuff. So hopefully we can do that this year and stop once it becomes January. But for the rest of the year, let's just be nice.
Sounds great, Dave. Thanks. Speaking of the gifts that keep on giving that don't cost a lot,
yeah,
that warm your heart, I think we're going to talk about Christmas movies, Dave.
I'm excited. This is why Jordan's here. Anytime we need to get really deep into movies, we bring Jordan in. And Jordan, this is kind of your thing. So can you walk us through some of these Christmas movies? I know that you've got them divided into best and worst.
Well, you know, this best and worst is always a matter of opinion and it's subjective. And you may disagree with some of these things, of some of my opinions that I've put these in. And if you do, that's okay. You can be wrong. That's okay.
Hey, I have to say... I heard some office water cooler talk the other day, guys, and you can rest assured that I've probably seen a total of 3 of the movies, maybe of the 50 on your list. But people in my office were saying, "Hey, you know what? The greatest Christmas movie of all time is." And the other person says, "Yeah, obviously, Die Hard." And they both looked at each other and they're like, Yes. Yes, it is. And they almost started like hugging and weeping. But it was this awesome moment where two people recognized each other and they said, you know, the actual greatest Christmas movie ever is Die Hard. And they were so pleased that they found each other.
I agree. And when anyone ever asks me what my favorite Christmas movie is, I always say Die Hard.
Wow.
The complete package.
I'm with you on that too, Jordan. And just to clarify something, that is actually what was happening on the cover of that book, Joy. They both realized we both know that Die Hard's the greatest Christmas movie of all time.
It's true. And to get into my convoluted Die Hard story theory thing, it's not real, but I like to think of it this way. Is that, do you remember, Dave, there's a character from Die Hard whose name, there's a police officer in particular whose name is Carl.
Yeah.
Carl Winslow.
Well, his name in the movie is not Carl Winslow, but the same actor played Carl Winslow in Family Matters with Steve Urkel. So in my mind, I like to think that police officer is Carl Winslow, and the story he tells about the boy he accidentally shot, the boy was Steve Urkel.
Oh, Jordan, that makes that movie even better.
It does. For me, for some reason, I always just – that part's supposed to be very emotional, you know, and kind of and stuff, and then you – catharsis at the end. It always just makes me chuckle when I think about Carl Winslow just blasting Steve Urkel on accident.
The man who shot Jaleel White. That's what I should rename that film. You know, I also read that scientists did a big study and conducted this study a while back, and they said that if human civilization were suddenly wiped out and all records of Christianity and of Jesus had been lost, they think that the thing that would help an alien race best reconstruct the true meaning of Christmas was just the original director's cut of Die Hard.
Yeah. That's probably, yeah.
It really is the spirit of Christmas just in, all throughout that film.
And fortunately, they gave us a gift in Die Hard 2 so that, you know, people that may lose the Christmas spirit or not remember the joy that comes from killing Germans, you have Die Hard 2 to remind you. But genuinely, that's one of my favorite movies of all time. So good. And the other movie that we have on the best list that I'm kind of turning into a Christmas tradition is we watch Elf every year. I love Elf.
Yeah. I don't think he is, so we're going to have to wait a bit because I have nothing to add at this point.
Okay.
Except that, you ready for some degrees of Kevin Bacon?
Yeah, I love Kevin.
So, Die Hard 2. Who's Bruce Willis's wife? Holly McClain, played by Bonnie Bedelia. You know,
yes, Bonnie.
Normie would be like, hey, Bonnie Bedelia, whatever, that's fine. But she is the aunt of the Culkin brothers, Macaulay, Kieran, and Rory. So, she is like the connecting piece between probably the top two Christmas films on Jordan's list, Home Alone and Die Hard. There you go. It all rests on Bonnie Bedelia.
Man, so still a number of years ago, I came up for the plot for Home Alone 3. I thought it was perfect. It was Kevin moves away, goes to college, and the two guys, you know, the Joe Pesci and Daniel Stern are janitors at the college.
Oh, that's so good.
And Kevin, he's trying to catch his flight to go home for Christmas. He's on Christmas break. But the janitors, they've you know, flipped the script on him, and they've set up this hall of torture and traps for him that he has to make it through to make it to his flight.
That's really brilliant, Dave. I was talking with Laurel before this podcast, and my idea was, why don't they do a shot-for-shot remake of Home Alone, but just with Macaulay Culkin at the age that he is now?
I would watch that.
Yeah, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like Macaulay still has so much to give us.
They recast everybody, but they leave him in the role of Kevin.
When I was a kid, we owned like 10 movies on video, and Home Alone was one of them. So I've seen it like 30 times.
Same with us. Same.
It's scarred in my memory, and it's so good. The hide a bed with Fuller scene, it just like every moment in it, it all makes me happy.
In junior high, my junior high band played the theme from Home Alone, one of at our Christmas concert. I was very excited.
That was a story only Jordan could tell.
I was pumped. I was pumped about that. That was cool. Well, other Christmas classics worth mentioning, I think, is of course The Christmas Story. You know, You'll Shoot Your Eye Out. So, very famous Christmas movie. Mm-hmm. The Red Ryder BB gun.
The lamp.
Yeah, the lamp. The pink bunny suit. So when I was on my mission, a guy told me that the guy that wrote that movie wrote it about Hammond, Indiana, and that he had gone to, if you remember in the film, there was a mall where you could go down a slide and you sit on Santa's lap and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. You sit on Santa's lap and then they send you down a slide. He said he did that when he was a kid at this place. Wow. It's not there anymore. But.
Wow.
Anyway, wow. Christmas Story. Dang. Every year, my wife and I, we watch White Christmas.
I wonder if that story that Jordan just told is going to make when they do the behind the scenes, like, could bring Jordan. Be like,
yeah.
I once met a guy in Hammond, Indiana, and he told me.
The DVD commentary.
It's true.
All right. So the one you watch with your wife every year, White Christmas?
White Christmas, Bing Crosby, Danny Kaye. Rosemary Clooney, and that long-legged lady, I can't remember her name.
Yeah.
But it's really good. Fun movie. It's old, you know, an oldie.
Oh, sure.
But it is in color, so that's good.
Racist.
I want to talk about this Finnish movie.
Please.
So I don't know if you guys are aware, but there is a subgenre of Christmas movies that are horror films.
Oh.
Have you seen any of these? Are you familiar with this, Dave?
I've seen like posters for this movie, but horror and Christmas seem like just a very poor mix to me. So I have not investigated it any further.
Well, the two best ones I've seen are both from the Scandinavian part of the world. The first is called Rare Exports: A Christmas Tale, and it's a Finnish movie. It takes place in Finland, so they're Laplanders. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah.
They live up there somewhere. They're reindeer. They have reindeer. And there's this company that's mining on this mountain, and they uncover this ancient evil. And find out that it's Santa Claus. But
what?
They kind of trick you at first because the elves, Santa's elves, look like what we think of Santa Claus looking like now. They're old men with long white beards, and they come running out. And instead of giving presents to children, they kidnap children in bags and take them back to Santa Claus, who is this kind of demon monster, to feed the children to Santa Claus on Christmas Eve. And so this little boy, no one believes that this is happening except for this one little boy, and he has to figure it out and save the town, save the town's children. It's a fun movie.
Is there a scene, because I feel like any horror movie filmed in Scandinavia has to have a scene where someone gets locked in a sauna and they just keep turning the heat up until they literally sweat to death or their skin melts off. Does that happen?
Not that I can remember.
Dave, it's a sauna.
Sauna. I want to say
I vaguely remember a scene where someone has a hot tub outside, so there's some steam.
Nice. Yeah, so Rare Exports. Get the kids together. Watch this movie this year.
Yeah. That's right.
It's pretty weird. The one other on the list that I want to talk about just for a sec is Rocky IV.
I thought you were going to say Scrooged, Dave. Bill Murray.
Terrific film as well. Bill Murray. Love him. Great hair in the film. Enjoy top quality comedy. Yeah.
I always want a tab after seeing that movie. I always want to drink a tab.
Yeah.
Which I think is actually disgusting, but.
No way. It's like Dr. Pepper, except it's called tab. Apparently, it's like Dr. Pepper.
Bobcat Goldthwait's in that movie. Just look that one up.
Yeah, he is.
That's all I can contribute. So.
Yeah, no, he's suicidal on that one. It's hilarious. But
Rocky IV. Let's talk about it.
Rocky. beating Drago on Christmas Day in Russia after he's run to the top of a mountain. And, like, some of the greatest montages you're ever going to see in movie history. Angry driving montage, training montage, steroid montage, just good stuff.
There's a lot of really good montages in that film. So, yeah.
Any other best movies?
Well, there's always Nightmare Before Christmas, Muppet Christmas Carol. These are all fun ones.
The animated Grinch, guys.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Everybody knows, but it's so good.
We just watched the old animated claymation from 1964, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and the Island of Misfit Toys. There's a if you want to watch like kind of like a feel-good foreign movie, there's one called Joyeux. I don't know how to speak French.
Joyeux?
Yeah, Joyeux Noël. And that's about, if you haven't heard this story, it's about in World War II where the French troops and the German troops kind of had an informal armistice, and then Christmas Day they played soccer and they shared food and ate together and celebrated Christmas.
But Boxing Day, they tried to kill each other all over again.
Yeah, each other the next day. But
all right, Joyeux Noël. Sounds good.
So, guys, I want to start off just our short discussion of the worst movies. I'm going to say a quote from one of the films I believe should be on this in the voice of the character, and I just want to see if you guys know where I'm coming from here. My happy thought will help you. Mine's my mother. Any idea, Jordan?
What? Go to hell, Dave.
Terrible movie. The little redheaded boy that's the star of it, I can't handle him. Robin Williams.
That is worse.
Dustin Hoffman, yeah. Robin Williams, casting dream. Maggie Smith was in that. Who was Tinkerbell? Wasn't it Julia Roberts as Tinkerbell?
Yeah, you know.
Julia Roberts.
I don't hate this movie. But you know who had a cameo in is Glenn Close.
What?
She's in it. She plays the pirate that Hook gets mad at.
Bob Hoskins is in it. He's great as Smee.
Yeah, Bob Hoskins.
Whoever played Rufio, I'm surprised his career didn't take off.
Dante Bosco? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Dante Bosco.
Oh, yeah.
He's an in-demand voice actor right now.
Yeah, his career really took off.
Of course
then.
He is.
Don't you know Prince Zuko from The Last Airbender?
Yeah.
Oh, he's Zuko?
Yeah, dude. He's Prince Zuko from Avatar The Last Airbender.
Oh, man. That makes sense now. Connecting everything.
So are you still talking trash about Hook, Dave? Or can you admit that it's a great one?
No, it's a terrible movie, guys. The main character, the redhead kid, is one of the most irritating kids of all time.
Quick question for you, Jordan. Speaking of Dante Bosco, I just looked him up. He was in a movie in 1997 called Fakin' Da Funk. Did you see that?
I don't think so, no.
Pam Grier, Tone Loc. I mean, it looks good. Margaret Cho.
No. He was in one that was like Filipino themed. I think I saw that one. I can't remember what it was called.
Nice.
But I think that was from the early 2000s.
Okay.
I can't remember the
name. Naked Brown Men?
But if you're interested, you should run on over to the greatest cinema moments in history, thegmch.com, and read my article about how Dante Bosco should be in the next Fast and Furious movie.
Whoa.
Because he should be.
Bring it full circle. Yeah, sorry to disparage your hero here. Rufio is awesome. Rufio.
That's right.
You're a mean, rude, crude bag of pre-chewed food, dude.
There's not a lot of male Filipino actors in Hollywood, but he's one of them. So,
yeah.
I kind of have to be a fan.
Nice.
And what else? What's one of your worst holiday movies, Jordan?
Okay, this isn't controversial, but it's A Wonderful Life.
Really?
I don't like, it's boring. I don't like the thoughts, or the lessons it's supposed to teach. And the bad guy still wins at the end.
Wow. So you said this isn't controversial.
It used to be, but I think now people agree that it's awful.
Oh my goodness. Wow, Jordan. Gotta keep them coming. Tell us more of the worst ones.
Okay. Gremlins? Have you guys seen Gremlins?
Oh, it's so bad.
It's so boring.
Is it bad? I haven't seen it in like 20 years. I remember it being good when I was 12.
That's what we thought too. And then so when my sister-in-law was visiting and we said, let's watch Gremlins. We remember it being so awesome. So we watched it, and after it was like, that was awful. It was so boring.
But Mogwais are such a good idea. Such a good idea.
Yeah.
Too bad.
Vince Vaughn had like a cottage industry of bad Christmas movies for a couple of years. Fred Claus, and I think he followed it up with Four Christmases. He just, I really like that guy. He just can't make a good Christmas movie, though.
Nope.
Hey, you know, we haven't mentioned any of the Sinbad flicks, and I think it's time.
In the worst movies? I don't think Sinbad's ever been associated with a bad movie.
No.
Come on.
You'll notice that the movie Jingle All the Way is in both lists. It is the best and also the worst. Now that I think about it, I take it back. It's one of the best. I take it back. There's so many elements in that. Now that I start thinking about it and remembering it more, there's a lot of elements to like. You've got Sinbad, the postman who's trying to foil Arnold in every way. You got Phil Hartman trying to move in on Arnold's wife every chance it gets.
Oh, man. Mm-hmm.
There's good stuff in it. I give it a B+.
People against Arnold, that's just funny. That's really funny, especially if it's Sinbad. probably 8 years ago, my wife got free tickets for us to go see Sinbad's comedy show. And we went, yeah.
Of course you went. How do you not go? Come on. I'd pay money.
Yeah, it was one of the best evenings of my life. Sinbad did like a 50-minute set about how it was real hot in Phoenix and about how women are different than men. And it was hilarious. I laughed the whole time.
Man, this is why I love doing the podcast. You never know where you're going to end up. I love these stories, Dave. I'm so glad that you've seen Sinbad live in the 21st century.
And that he is still alive. It's so good. Thank you, Sinbad. Let's get him on the podcast.
Yeah, that'd be great.
He's one of the biggest tax debtors in California state history.
Yeah, that's poor guy. He's doing the best he can. So that's our discussion of holiday movies. Enjoy the cinema. And I think if we could recommend anything, it would be to watch Jingle All the Way this year so you can really enjoy your holidays and Sinbad. So guys, the last section we're going to talk about tonight is just the festivities from this time of year. Things you enjoy, things you recommend, something that just brings a little bit more of the spirit of Christmas to Christmas.
Mm. I'll start.
You got anything like that still? Yeah.
Yeah. I think the important thing is I don't like surprisingly, I'm the bah humbug, but I don't really like traditional Christmas food. I don't eat meat.
Oh, yeah.
Potatoes are so boring. And Christmas meal, just like Thanksgiving meal, was always a real downer for me. But what we decided to do in our family was to practice like aggressive, blatant cultural appropriation. So we would just dress up in outlandish ethnic outfits, speak with really, really, really thick foreign accents, and then just make the cuisine from another culture and eat it for dinner. What do you think, Jordan? Good idea? Bad idea?
That's a great idea.
I'm kidding about most of that. What I'm not kidding about was making Christmas food from around the world. It was we do like regional themed ethnic food, and it's so much better than the traditional Christmas meal. And it's been an awesome family tradition for all of us.
What we always do, Steele, I just thought of this to punch up our mashed potatoes, is we put about half a log of Chèvre goat cheese in it.
Ooh, I can do that.
That punches it up.
Yeah,
I wish you'd told me. And Jordan, we just had Howard and his family over for Thanksgiving, and it was insane. But but I made so many mashed potatoes, and we threw them all away because I've never made good mashed potatoes in my life.
Oh, Dave.
Like no one ate any. That's crazy. It was disappointing.
Well, you know, throw in some goat cheese and you know, a significant amount. Let it melt in there, mix it all together. It'll be good.
Dave, you got any treats for people's mouths this year at Christmas?
I just finished. So I've been searching for you know, a good 36 years for the perfect eggnog. It's never been in reach until now. Like it's not quite perfect, but it's the closest I've ever had. Dara Gold. I get it at Walmart. I don't know if it's a national brand. If it is, do yourself a favor. Dara Gold eggnog, and it's gonna knock your socks off. I don't know if you can drink it still, but
what are you looking for in an eggnog, Dave? What are you looking for in an eggnog?
You want a subtle nutmeg flavor.
Uh-huh.
You want a creaminess. You want the eggnog to be thick, but not so thick that it leaves a coating in your mouth after you swallow.
Is it, thicker than a whole milk? Is it thicker than a whole milk? Is it the consistency of half and half? Or are we at whipping cream?
The issue that with most eggnogs is they go too thick. It's like whipping cream. You're drinking it and it's overpowering you. What Dara Gold does is it takes it just past whole milk, just to the right spot to where you're like, this is an eggnog, but it's not pushing you so far that you feel like you're causing yourself a heart attack as you're drinking it. It's a real subtle mix. You have to do it just right.
Cool. Dara Gold is a Northwestern cooperative, so they have it in Boise. I grew up with Dara Gold stuff, you know, in high school. It's good stuff.
Oh,
I've never tried their nog, though, I don't think.
They also make the best chocolate milk as well.
Yeah, that's true.
They're so good.
Their chocolate milk is so good.
I'll have to look for and try these products you speak of.
But the one thing that my family does every Christmas, which you wouldn't initially associate with Christmas, is we make piñatas. When I was a kid, my mom would make a Santa Claus piñata, and it's super fun. We loved it. And now it's a tradition for us. We make a piñata every year, but like I take it to the next level. Last year we made Hulk, and it was awesome. We've made the Grinch before. One year, Arian made a narwhal, and it really makes Christmas more festive.
What do you fill them with?
What do you think, Steele?
Well, I guess obviously it's a dumb question. Obviously, it's candy.
Yes,
but I want more specific. Like, what is? Do you have a special piñata filling, or do you just go with
garbage candy, or is this good candy?
Yeah, Dave.
Typically, it's garbage candy because piñatas are really big. To buy enough candy to fill up a piñata, you're suddenly like, we usually take it to like the White Elephant, and then we try and win it back so we can just take it home. But like, if you fill it with good candy, suddenly it's like a $25 present versus crappy candy. It's like a $7 present.
And this time of year, you got Halloween leftovers.
Yeah. I think you should put one king-size Snickers bar in there and then let everybody fight over it.
That's not a bad idea. And Halloween leftovers still, that's not something that happens at my household.
That's probably true. All right, Jordan. Festivities.
Yeah, so I'm mixed race. I guess that's the term. So my mom is from the Philippines and my dad is from Utah. So we have like, so at Christmas time we'll eat like the regular kind of Christmas stuff that you eat in America, you know, like turkey, ham, mashed potatoes, rolls.
Yeah.
I don't know. What else is there? Is that it? I don't know.
Cranberry jelly or whatever that is.
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah, that kind of stuff. But we'd also have like traditional Filipino dishes. So we'd have like lumpia. You guys know what? It's like a small spring roll that you dip in sweet and sour sauce or a spicy sweet and sour sauce. It's filled with pork and chicken and cabbage and stuff. It's really good. Then we have something called pancit, which is like a noodles, stuff in it, pork, chicken, scrambled eggs, boiled eggs, hard boiled eggs. Okay, so we have like a, I don't know what you call it. It's like a, because we don't really, in the United States, we don't really eat stuff like this, but it's called ginatan. It's like a, it's almost like a dessert stew. Mm. We don't really have like the equivalent in American cuisine, but it's made with like coconut milk, and it's got coconut jelly. Have you guys ever had coconut jelly? It comes in a jar shaped like clear squares.
Uh-huh. Laura loves everything coconut related.
Yeah, so like that goes in it. We make like tapioca balls out of tapioca flour, and you flavor it with pandan or banana or other stuff. And sometimes you
is it hot? Is it a warm thing?
Yeah, it's warm. Yeah, and then it has like ube, like yams in it, and sweet potatoes. Mm. They're like chopped up like bite size, and you like boil and sugar to make it sweet and stuff, and then you boil it all together. Ours usually turns purple, and then you eat it.
So is this like the it's like the tapioca balls like you'd have in like a bubble tea or something?
No, they're kind of more like the consistency of like a, well, it, you use tapioca flour and you make them yourself, so they're not translucent or anything.
Oh wow, that sounds great. Gelatin, like vaguely sweet gelatinous stuff and coconut milk.
Maybe exactly. Like Laurel's dream, oh, and you, dream dessert. You can put you can put plantains in it, like big chunks of plantain.
That'd be good.
It's good stuff. So sometimes we'll have that, and then we have something called polvo, which is like a Filipino version of shortbread. Oh. That comes in different flavors. It's really good. Puto is like a...
Hey, watch your mouth, man.
Yeah, it's a bad word in Spanish, but it's like a gelatinous rice cake. It's about... Okay. Usually it's in little circle chunks, like little... You could eat it in two bites.
It's sweet, or is it savory?
Yeah,
or
it's sweet. Okay. No, it's sweet. Yeah. Most of the stuff is sweet. Then we have like leche flan, which is pretty common. It's like basically what flan.
Yeah.
But milky. It's Filipino style, so like it's flavored with calamansi, which is like a really sour, tiny little lime. We have sinigang, which is like a sour pork soup. Champurrado,
That's the one thing I've had.
Well, in my family, in Filipino is different. It's like it's a chocolate rice.
Oh, that's not what I've had.
Is that what you had?
No, I had a hot chocolate different drink.
Yeah, like things will have sometimes, especially, well, in the Philippines is really regional, so you might have a dish that's called the same thing in one region or one family, it's one thing, in another family, it's going to be different. Ours is that we usually call it Coco Samoa, and it's sweet rice, sweet gelatinous rice with chocolate and then sugar and evaporated milk. You mix it all together. It's like kind of like a chocolate porridge.
So,
it's super good.
So is Mama Fox the one making all these meals, or do you now make them for your family, or how does it work?
No. Some of this stuff we make, some of it we just order from the Filipino restaurant. Okay. Or from the, you can get it at like Seafood City, or like if you have Red Ribbon in your neighborhood. Like Las Vegas has a sizable Filipino population, so we have like almost all of the Filipino fast food and stuff. Like we have Jollibee's here and Red Ribbon Bakery and stuff like that. So you can go there and get like the pandesal, which is like rolls, or you can get like a ube cake. We just get it from Red Ribbon. The lumpia, we just order and have that made. Same with the pancit. And all the other things like polvo, puto, that stuff just comes pre-made. Just buy it in like shrink wrap packages. Wow. And then like turon, that's like the big one. That's like it's like plantains that are wrapped in like a pastry thing and then coated with sugar and fried. They're delicious.
So my parents, they were on their mission in the Philippines. It was a couple of years ago. They came home now. And right before – they came home last time right before Christmas. And so the people there wanted to throw like a final Christmas celebration for them.
Uh-huh.
And the only thing I was really told about it is they asked my mom, like, okay, what food do you want? And she said anything but fish, but they misunderstood her and thought she was demanding lots
only
of fish.
Oh no. So, yeah, and there they don't. So they make the whole fish. They serve you the whole fish. So it's like very different than the way we eat fish here.
So my mom's just, you know, the sweetest person. She would never try and offend anyone, so she just had to pound tons of fish that night that she couldn't stomach. It's beautiful.
She didn't even have lechon? That's like the best thing. Still, you would hate it.
Yeah, I'm sure.
It's basically just a pig, roasted pig.
I bet I would enjoy it. I would just feel bad.
Yeah, you would.
Well, guys, this sounds like some wonderful traditions. I hope that you enjoy your foods, and I'm going to drink lots of eggnog because it's just this time of year we can enjoy this kind of stuff. But unfortunately, our time's coming to a close. We got to start wrapping this up. And, of course, we always end with Unchained Melodies and some book wisdom. Can you tell us about Unchained Melodies tonight, Steele?
Yes, Dave. So, Christmas music. Everybody has their favorite traditional Christmas tunes, but not all of our listeners yet know that the world's greatest Christmas albums have actually been reduced and recorded by my co-host. So, Dave, I don't know if this is an annual tradition, semi-annual tradition, how you describe it, but you and Ariane and the Jensen family have been putting out Christmas records and sending them to a select group of friends for years now, a decade.
We do it every other year, and we've done four of them so far. This year I took the year off. It started originally, I was unemployed, and I was at home in July by myself. And when Ariane came home, I played a song that I recorded for her, and it was called Christmas in Space. And that was just the jumping off point, Steele, and we haven't stopped since.
I love it, Dave. So I'm going to play one of the oldies but goodies. This is from the Jensen Family 2007 album, Merry Christmas from the Jensens, I think, Dave. Is that the title? You'd have to...
Yeah.
And the song is called One Angry Who.
You broke with Sue's heart and you took our food. Trying to ruin Christmas, well, that's so rude. You better not come back to my house for Christmas. You better not come back to my house at all. You better not come back to my house for Christmas. You better not come back to my house at all.
You can just imagine the feeling. You're living in some sad place in 2007, and you get this package in the mail. You open it up, and there's this beautiful hand-designed, homemade CD. It says, Merry Christmas from the Jensens. You put the CD on your CD player, and you're like, I just need something that's going to help me get through this winter. You press play, and that's the first song you hear. It's like It's a Wonderful Life, except true. I mean, that song has saved hundreds of lives, Dave.
Yeah, I think that most of my family members didn't make it that far into the song before they stopped and then removed the CD from the player. But, of course, that's a tribute to the wonderful Dr. Seuss and the Grinch Who Stole Christmas.
Yeah, talk about really inhabiting a character, Dave. That was awesome.
So Steele, I'm somewhat embarrassed by these, but like I love it. I think it's fun. My favorite one that I've written is Greg the Sleepy Shepherd.
Great song. Nice guitar work here, too.
Oh, yeah. That's me.
It's kind of, what's that Bush song this sounds like?
Who came and the sky lit up bright. Greg was the seat. When the angels said, fear not, I bring you good tidings. Greg was the seat. You see, he'd spent the whole day trying to fix his roof. And he was really worn out from all he had to do. My sleepy shepherd, ba ba, sleepy shepherd. When the shepherds found the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, Greg was asleep. When the heavenly choir sang glory to God in the highest, Greg was asleep. He'd always had trouble staying awake, watching his sheep, and that night he was pretty worn out, so it turned out he was asleep. He just couldn't stay awake, watching his sheep. Ba, ba, sleepy shepherd.
It's Ariane on the backing vocals there.
Ba, ba, sleepy shepherd. When the shepherds made it known throughout the land that they'd seen the babe born.
I had to get to that part. That's the, I mean, woo! Dang! That was good.
And it ends in a kind of Bob Seger sing-along, but just a tragic tale of Greg when the angel came, he was sleeping and he never got to see the baby Jesus. I believe that's in the book of John.
Mm. Man, devastating.
Yeah. All right, Jordan, what's your favorite Jensen family Christmas tray?
Man, I feel almost bad because I feel like I'm sort of bashing on Jimmy Stewart tonight.
Go ahead.
Or I guess it's not bashing. Never mind. This isn't bashing because it's a good, not a bad thing. So, Mr. Krueger, if you've ever – so Jimmy Stewart did a movie for – I guess it was the LDS Church.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Called Mr. Krueger's Christmas, and he played this like lonely janitor.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. This is it.
I got mittens on my Christmas tree. The only thing that means much to me. The little girl left them here. You see, that's how I got mittens on my Christmas tree. Nobody coming over to my house. Christmas joy just left me out. The little girl came and sang to me. How I got mittens on my Christmas tree. Oh, oh, goodnight. Oh, mittens tree. Oh, oh, goodnight. She forgot her mittens. She forgot them with me. Christmas cheer could only cost the mittens. All you may need is knitting mittens. When they come back, invite me along. And I join in on their Christmas song.
That always makes me think of the mountain goats for some reason.
That makes me almost feel like Woody Guthrie or something. Now, where did she forget them? That's such a good way to end that song, dude.
I think that's a mandolin, guys. But, it's just a wonderful message that all you may need on your Christmas tree is a pair of mittens if you're the saddest, loneliest janitor in the world.
Take that one to the bank. So, Dave, if people are interested in the back catalog of Jensen Family Christmas music, you want to throw a bone to the fans and let them know where they could order these, mail order, or what's that?
You can just send me an email, and I'll send you whatever you want. they're not available on iTunes right now. Yeah, sorry, guys.
No, wait, this is exclusive stuff.
iTunes sold out. Yeah, they couldn't keep them in stock. All right, now let's talk. I mean, we covered the real important Christmas music, so let's talk about traditional Christmas music for a second here. Favorite non-Dave Jensen family Christmas song?
So, Steele, I really like the song "O Holy Night," and I just threw that up there, and you brought a particular rendition of it to my attention that I'm really excited to hear.
I think for years, Dave, the gold standard has been obviously Aaron Neville's version of this song.
Oh, man. That man has a voice like an angel.
Right.
I'm serious.
Yeah.
He's good.
Me too. The Neville brothers. Dang.
Yeah, those guys got it.
This year, we have some competition for the throne. Jewish Elvis, Neil Diamond, O Holy Night, the 2016 version, I guess. And this is from Acoustic Christmas, his new Christmas album.
Thanks, Neil.
Stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. The thrill of hope, the weary soul rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn.
Right here.
Fall on your knees,
Christ was when born. Christ was born. It feels like he's Christian in that song. That's what it feels like.
It brings a tear to even the crustiest of eyes, I have to say. I love a couple of Christmas songs, but when I'm thinking about like best Christmas songs, this will surprise no one. But I like them when they slow them down and make them seem really sad.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yes, shocking, I know. My favorite Christmas song, actually, I heard the bells on Christmas Day, and there's a David Bazan, the guy from Page with the Lion version. That's quite good. But I'm actually going to play a song especially for you, Dave. I'm going to mix it up a little bit. This is our mutual friend, Eef.
Another wonderful Jewish man.
Oh. And it's his cover of...
I love Eef.
Joy to the World.
Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing.
Does Eef have a Christmas album? If so, I'm in.
No, that's from Bitter Honey. But that's Eef Barzilay. Some people know him from Clem Snide. Most people don't know him at all. But he's worth getting to know.
One interesting fact about Eef Barzilay is that he's left-handed.
What? That explains the kinship. I'm left-handed too, you guys. No.
Oh, man.
All right, Jordan, you got to take us out on
Minister.
A solid note.
When I was a kid, my mom got this Motown Christmas album, and everything on there was so good. And I think now they've released – so one of the ones that was on there was the Jackson 5 singing a song called Give Love on Christmas Day. And if you're looking for a gift to give, love is the perfect one. Most Christmas songs don't have killer bass lines. That one does. So good.
The thing I love most about our choices is that we just played three songs, our favorite Christmas songs, all recorded by musicians who don't celebrate Christmas.
Hey, Stu, I sent you a bonus track.
Oh, nice. What's that?
To embarrass a mutual friend of ours.
This is great. So you want any preface here to play this song?
No, I don't think it needs it.
Okay. You got to give it 4 seconds of preface because it's loading.
Oh, okay. So this is I don't know why, but when I lived with Dan and Alan, we recorded a bunch of Christmas songs, and we somehow got Dan, Jenny, John to sing one.
Nice.
And on, like, to record it on tape. And this is it.
Stand here. I'll get it right this time. Grandma got it.
Oh, I know. Jenny John sings on this, the last verse. Sorry. That's right.
Let me just fast forward.
Yeah, maybe. You can edit.
Grandpa, we believe. Go, babe, got home by my grandma. He'll try to pretend it didn't happen. But my grandma slapped him 6 ways from Sunday. And he cried like a Sally man. like a Sally Nancy. You know that guy had it coming, running off his stupid mouth. But you know how the old saying goes, Cool Babe gets owned by Jenna John, cause Cool Babe sucks real hard.
Wow. You know, having lived in Wisconsin for 10 years, I appreciate his voice more and more with every passing year.
Man, guys, I'm ready just to celebrate Christmas right now. Just talking to you guys was like opening up a present.
It was.
That's sweet, Dave. I like that.
Who's got book wisdom this week?
Oh, man. None other than Dr. Seuss.
Oh!
There's few people that can express such wonderful wisdom and heavy-handed morals as Dr. Seuss. And I want to share a story with you guys tonight. This is how the Grinch stole Christmas. I'm not going to read the whole thing to you, but of course we all know the Grinch didn't like Christmas, and he attempted to steal it. He took all the Who's toys, and he prepared to destroy them all at the top of a mountain. And that's where we'll pick up with the story. 3,000 feet up the side of Mount Crumpet, he rode with his load to the tip-top to dump it. Poo-poo to the Who's, he was grinchishly humming. They're finding out now, no Christmas is coming. They're waking up, I know just what they'll do. Their mouths will hang open for a moment or two. Then the Who's down in Whoville will all cry boo-hoo. That's a noise, grinned the Grinch, that I simply must hear. So he paused and the Grinch put his hand to his ear. And he did hear a sound rising over the snow. It started in low, then it started to grow. But the sound wasn't sad. Why, this sound sounded merry. It couldn't be so, but it was merry, very. He stared down at Whoville. The Grinch popped his eyes. Then he shook when he saw what was a shocking surprise. Every Who down in Whoville, the tall and the small, was singing without any presents at all. He hadn't stopped Christmas from coming. It came. Somehow or other, it came just the same. And the Grinch, with his Grinch feet ice cold in the snow, stood puzzling and puzzling. How could it be so? It came without ribbons. It came without tags. It came without packages, boxes, or bags. He puzzled 3 hours till his puzzler was sore. Then the Grinch thought of something he hadn't before. Maybe Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas, perhaps, means a little bit more. And what happened then? Well, in Whoville, they say that the Grinch's small heart grew 3 sizes that day. The minute his heart didn't feel quite so tight, he whizzed with his load through the bright morning light. He brought back the toys and the food for the feast, and he himself, the Grinch, carved the roast beast.
Off the chain. It's off the chain.
Let's spend some time with our family and our loved ones and just remember what the Grinch learned.
Yeah. Carve the hell out of roast beasts.
Yeah. Delicious, though, Steele.
You got to carve through the hell so you can enjoy heaven. All a good night. Merry Christmas, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Well said.
However it goes.
You know, the old saying, Cobabe sucks real hard.
Daniel Jenna John. That guy.